Warning, the following podcast contains coarse language and spoilers for the film and the title of the podcast.
Now playing movie reviews in 20 Qs.
Hello, you goddamn fantastic people, and welcome to the podcast Movie Reviews in 20 Qs, the show where we review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. I am one of your hosts, Sam. And the movie we're doing this week is Roadhouse, the brand new remake that's just come out. So because we're doing the remake, I had to get back the guys that were on the original, one of which is Kahu. How are you doing, Kahu?
Yay! I'm good. Good to be back. That seems like it's been a while, fellas.
It has. We got three episodes ahead, and then I couldn't be fucked editing an episode, and now we've had a month gap between now and then. But even before then, it was probably about 3 weeks before that we'd actually record an episode together. But hey, we're back.
Yes, 7 weeks then.
7 weeks, yeah. And for those playing at home, we did talk about how this is the end, signaling the end of the podcast. We probably are going to wrap it up soon, but not as soon as we expected. So there's some news for yous.
So who knows when?
Yeah. Very kindly, one of our friends, Billy from We Watch the Thing, has actually offered to edit our podcasts on the provision that we go on his network. So, I mean, I'm a very cheap date. So why not? The other person that's joining us, Machu, that was on the original. How are you doing, Machu?
Oh, kia ora. Nah, not too bad. Hungover as per usual. But I'm actually feeling pretty good now. It's been a while.
I'd love someone to do the stats on you. I'd love someone to go through the podcasts, listen to every single one, and figure out how many you're hungover on, how many you're not.
Well, it's always, it's either one or the other. It's either hungover or getting drunk. So, yeah, there's nothing in between.
I think I do 100%. Remember one when you're on a no drinking month.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, possibly. That's right.
That one time in like the last 8 years.
Fuck, that was boring to listen to.
I've been on a no drinking thing for the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm not drinking until Easter. And it was like 10 days from Easter.
Yeah. It's like your version of Ramadan. You only drink at night.
Yeah. Listeners, you can tell how much we enjoyed this movie by the fact that we don't want to talk about anything but this movie. It is the remake of the original from the 1980s. It stars Jake Gyllenhaal as Elwood Dalton. You know, we often make fun of people that are like Larry David. You know, they've got two first names. How about this? Two last names. Elwood Dalton.
Elwood Dalton.
Elwood Dalton.
I got an uncle called Dalton.
So he's a festy.
No, he's a lasty.
Oh, lasty.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck, you are hungover.
What about Elwood Blues?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. But I do get your point. He is a lasty.
The only thing that beats a lasty is a lasty girly, yeah. Like two girl last names. Like Stacey Hannah, like for a guy.
Taylor Courtney, isn't it? Yeah. I get what you're saying. Camilla gives update on Kate Middleton's cancer. Where the fuck
is that going? Let's read that. Anyway, what are we up to?
We don't want to fucking talk about this movie, do we? As a score, I mean, we don't, obviously, but
as a thing.
How many times have you heard Sam cut mid podcast to talk about British royals and health scares?
Right.
It's either that or that actor you guys never shut up about.
Who?
What's her name? It's a High School Musical.
Oh, how hot is Vanessa Hudgens, bro?
How hot is Vanessa? Jesus. That'd get us started.
It's funny that we love Natalie Portman more, but we, out of respect for Natalie Portman, we don't talk about it as much, except for the fact that how the fuck did someone cheat on Natalie Portman? You've hit apex female and you've cheated on her. Oh yeah, fucking hell. Okay, let's get back to the movie. Score of 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb, 59% on Rotten Tomatoes, 57% on Metacritic. These are kind of generous scores, and the reason why I'm saying generous is because Machu watched this movie first, and he's going to give us the scores for it first, but Machu watched this first and then didn't say anything for 24 hours, and normally if he loves the movie, we find out about it. He didn't say anything, and then Kahu messaged and said, oh, this movie fucking sucks. And that's when Machu chimed in and said, yeah, shit, bro. And here we are.
So hard to like it. I was like, oh, I love Roadhouse, and I quite like Jake Gyllenhaal too, so I was like, oh, this will be good. Nope.
Well, since you tried so hard, why don't you give us the plot?
Oh, yeah. See, that's actually one of my questions. Like, so I need to wait till my question pops up.
That's true. Okay. Why don't we run off Google? So it is based on the original from the 1980s. According to Google, ex-UFC fighter Dalton, Howard Dalton, takes a job as a bouncer at Florida Keys Roadhouse, only to discover that this paradise is not all it seems. That'll do, and let's get into our usual blurb. If you haven't heard this podcast before, what we do is we review a movie by asking 20 questions about it. Start with 10 that can be applied to any movie. We then move through three personal questions that we thought of while we were watching this movie. And, yeah, I mean, we've kind of joked around and hinted around about it. So, Machu, why don't you give us a shit sandwich first?
Yeah, so I tried really hard to think of something good, but I'll start off with something bad. Just a lot of random shit that makes no sense happens all through the movie, from the right at the opening scene where Jake Gyllenhaal turns up for a fight and his opponent won't fight him. That's real fucking cool. So it's like this whole big scene, Post Malone's fighting, they've got a whole lot of money, and all these people turn up to watch nothing.
and you get excited because you're like, shit, Post Malone's going to get his fucking ass handed to them. This is something I want to see.
And it turns out that that's Jake Gyllenhaal's job. Turn it up, not fighting, but getting paid.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's like, and it just gets worse from there.
Imagine being a famous porn star that never has sex.
It just turns up and, like, and he's like, I'm not having sex with him. Yeah, but I'm getting my money.
Yeah.
It was a bit like that, though, eh? Like, there were lots of scenes that just were disjointed. It was almost if they'd been filmed for a different movie.
Yeah.
Like, all the bookstore stuff. It was it was kind of relevant to the plot, but they spent a lot of time on it.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
My second bad thing is that there was all these awkwardly placed characters just, like, jammed into the movie that also made no fucking sense. Like, the book place, that little girl, that she's part of it. And, like, we... and then, like, Conor McGregor's characters, like, cool, Conor McGregor's acting debut, cool. Wonder what they're going to do with him. He's just, like, in Italy. Like, why is he in fucking Italy? Like, he's going to get a plane. Someone in jail that we never see brings Conor McGregor, who's in Italy, walking around naked. Like, why is any of this shit happening? I don't understand.
He was very comfortable with himself.
Yeah. I mean, like, when you compare it to the original, where everything makes sense in the original.
Well, there's a bit of a plot there, though. But one, there is none. And then there's some good jokes in here.
Is that your good thing? There's some good jokes.
There was some comedic sort of stuff, but just most of it fell flat, eh? Like, you just go, oh, that was quite funny.
There was one or two moments where I got a snigger, like where they sort of, when he smashes him against the piano and he's like, this is out of tune. And he's like, sounds good to me.
or that guy Moe's character, that Saturday Night Live comedian, he was like mildly entertaining, just having like casual chats during fights and bar scenes. But they just mostly just fell flat. So I don't know. I really like The Roadhouse. I like The Roadhouse so much that I'm going to give this the remake. What are we calling this one?
Crocodiles.
10,000 Angry Crocodiles. Yeah.
10,000 Angry Crocodile. Just one crocodile.
One angry crocodile.
10,000. Wow. Just the same amount of crocodiles as in this film.
You almost went for hyperbole shit sandwich. Yeah.
I'll probably watch it again, you know.
You are the man that watched Space Jam, A New Generation, or whatever.
This movie's like The Room. So bad, it's like, you've got to watch it a couple of times.
It's not so bad, it's good. That's the thing about this movie.
It's like it's come back round again. It's like time is a flat circle.
Time is a flat circle. What about you, Kahu? Why don't you unleash your sandwich on us?
Yeah. I initially had done my compliment sandwich and had two good things and one bad thing, and I was
really
like, no, that is not happening. That's not happening.
Were your two good things, though?
So my first good thing was that I actually really liked Conor McGregor in this. I thought he kind of made the movie a lot less dull.
Yes,
maybe because we think he might have been on coke the whole time, but I thought he...
I think coke was on him, bro.
yeah. But my second thing, and this is a bad thing, and kind of following on from you, what you were talking about, Machu, is that there's just like no atmosphere in this film.
Yeah.
And I kind of wonder what it was. And for like three quarters of the movie, there's just like no soundtrack or anything kind of going with it. It's just like a whole bunch of actors reading their lines with like no soundstage or anything in the background. It's really weird.
It's really odd.
Yeah. And actually after that, I read that they changed composers like a month before the movie was released. I was like, oh yeah, that figures.
I'd love to know how terrible that first dude was. Eh?
Yeah. I was just like,
it's a bit like a series, eh? Like a Prime Amazon series as opposed to.
It just felt like they had just forgotten about the whole sound side of things and then went, oh shit, actually, there's something missing here, but let's just put it all into the back end of the movie when most of the action is.
Mm.
It was weird. And my third thing, so another bad thing, and I think this is really where the movie gets let down, is that Jake Gyllenhaal just feels like he's kind of phoning it in.
Ooh.
He just, I don't know, maybe he's not the best match for this role, but I just feel like he's not putting the effort in, eh?
I'm with you. Mm. I legitimately feel sorry for Jake Gyllenhaal. Whatever the fuck his name is. Because he's a good actor.
Yeah.
He was amazing in Nightcrawler, and that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And what's he done since? Oh, amazing in, like, Spider-Man as Mysterio. I haven't talked about the MCU for a while, guys. Let me have a little bit of fucking, a chat.
He was also on that.
Give it to me, man. Like, I know we're out of fucking like baby another, hair, but let me get to the another MCU hype. Game.
End game was the end.
I fucking need it, bro. My fucking fiends itchy, man. Motherfuckers.
He was in that movie Ambulance, which apparently was real shit, but also really hyped as a Michael Bay movie too.
I never watched that. There was another one where he was like an emergency caller and you found out he was awaiting trial or something like that.
Oh yeah,
he was this is the thing, he's a very talented actor and I thought he was actually pretty good in this, but
yeah,
not great. But
no. I just thought, particularly for most of the movie, he was just like, I'm here, I'm in a movie, I'll do the bare minimum.
Yeah, I mean,
he did work out heaps for it, obviously, but yeah.
I was liking it. I was liking his performance until he gave the stink eye, and it was like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah,
stink eye. Is that some kind of Sylvester Stallone over the top, pull your hat backwards or something moment? Like the stink eye suddenly.
I don't like where I'm going to go.
He goes. Don't like what's going to happen next. Like Bruce Banner turns into the Hulk when he gets the stink eye. What a stupid gimmick.
Yeah.
He came up with that too.
So, when you read the Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb
which
ratings, I was like, that's a bit of a surprise, to be honest. Maybe they'll come down, given that this hasn't been released all that long. It was okay as an action movie, I guess. So, 4,000 crocodiles for me.
Ooh, 4,000,
yeah.
Wow. 4 out of 10.
Compared to one crocodile, I guess it isn't too bad.
One lonely crocodile.
Can't find those bodies, though.
In general, I thought that acting was just really average.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you guys. Like, I'm shit sandwich as well. First thing, similar to what you're saying, I felt like this was utterly devoid of any fun or personality or anything that makes it stand out. The original is insane, campy fun, and like it's the type of movie that, you know, is very much of the 80s and you can't really make now. But like, you've got to do something different and unique and all that sort of shit, and everything they tried on this just felt disjointed and uneven.
Yeah, I remember when you sent through the trailer for it, and
the trailer looked good.
I think at the time we commented that this looks a bit like one of those trailers where all the good bits are in the trailer.
Yeah. Like most comedy movies that you're like, this is probably going to be shit. And you've got all the good jokes and some of them aren't really hitting.
Yeah. And you're a little bit worried as to what the full thing's going to be. And I think this was the story. Oh,
yeah, but I never thought like I would prefer karate over UFC in a movie. 80s took that one. What else? Nudity versus no nudity. Well, 80s win again.
Throats caving in versus throats being ripped out.
Yeah.
a dude saying pain, pain don't hurt, or whatever the fuck he says, yeah. to a dude just like, just to a dude just killing himself instead of fucking going to the hospital. What the fuck? That was my other bad thing. Coherent plot. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, tell one story well. Don't tell 17 stories badly. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. My other good thing, I expected Conor McGregor to be pretty fucking bad.
Yeah.
And I was glad that my expectations went wrong.
He just like...
it was just weird. He wasn't too... I mean, he was just bad, eh?
But I reckon...
Do you remember when you used to challenge him to a fight on our podcast? I'm doing this now. I'm challenging the angry Irish dude. Oh, fuck it. He can come and beat the shit out of me. I don't care.
Yeah, I hope he takes your clothes and says, oh, you're about my size.
The thing is, like, you're right, Co. He was actually fun. And I'll talk a little bit more about him.
He just brought, like, the energy to each scene he was in. Whereas, like, even though his acting was, like, you know, he's not an actor, but... Like, he had that kind of chaotic energy that came with him in every scene.
Still, I've no idea what his character was supposed to be there. Like, it was just awkwardly paced.
Who he was.
Doesn't he kill the person he's supposed to be protecting?
Yeah. Like, even
the
dad's arranged him for a job, and he's like, yeah, I'll kill your son. I don't want you to fucking kill my son.
Yeah, even that guy was like, oh, not this asshole again. He's like, he's working for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's the only guy here that will get shit done, and you're pissed off that he's here.
Yeah, it's like, for some reason, he just rams straight into trees everywhere he drives, eh? And he does it on purpose. And that's like a thing. It's like these fucking shit gimmicks all through the movie.
Says the guy that showed up here with fucking branches hanging out of his car. Anyway, yeah, my score. Like, you guys told me it was going to be shit, and so I expected shit. And it wasn't as bad as I expected. But at the same time, it's like a 3,999. Yeah. Like, it's not great. Anywho, fuck it. Let's move over to question number two. Machu.
Question number two, what was the biggest dick move in the movie?
So it's the sheriff even going along with pretending that his daughter's kidnapped. Like, why does he trust this guy who just tries to buy everybody off and weasel his way to his own benefit? Like, just don't even trust that he's just pretending to kidnap your daughter, for crying out loud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The sheriff was a fucking jackass. Yeah. He was a fucking dick.
I was all beta. Yeah, no, I am. I have actually kidnapped your daughter. Sorry, bro. Yeah, sorry. What the fuck?
Do I still get paid?
I was going to say the dude stabbing him outside the venue, but then you guys brought up a really good point. The biggest dick move is Alward Dalton, Dalton Alward, what the fuck it is, watches fights go on for about 90% longer than they should before he fucking jumps in and actually does something. Yeah. And then roping in guys he's never seen fight before, never seen a scrap of little dudes that are working in the bar. You go in there and sort the shit out, bro.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Like, I've hired you to do a job, but hey, there's a guy over there that's actually punching a punching bag. I'll just grab him.
Yeah.
I'll sit here drinking coffee all night.
Did you use a box? I'm kind of going to regret if I say yes, but yeah. What a joke.
I thought calling yourself Big Dick is a pretty, fucking big dick move, eh? My name's Big Dick. What the fuck? Like, if you were dating some girl and you met her dad and he called himself Big Dick, like,
does that make me Little Dick?
Yeah.
I feel inadequate.
Yeah, yeah. And the other one I had was when they go out on that date and I didn't realise that wasn't her boat.
Ex-boyfriend's boat.
Like, how the fuck are they on that good terms? That, and he loves that boat, eh? He's like hard out into the boat.
Actually, that was one scene where I did enjoy Jake Gyllenhaal in that. He's like, oh, no, I'll bring it back. It'll be okay. And the guy's like, no, I want my boat.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. A guy who's a police officer in double arsties like, no, you'll get it back. You sweet ass. Yeah.
I just need to take it out for a couple of hours. It'll be fine.
By the way, I've rigged it with explosives.
Yeah.
That's cool, eh? You fucking what? Speaking of which, number two, there goes one of my answers that I had for question number three, which is what, Co?
What side character had their life completely ruined by the events of this movie?
So obviously, yeah, that was going to be my answer. The guy that fucking lent his boat and then got it blown up just for no fucking reason. But I mean, there's a couple of others. I'm going to go with the owner of the bookstore. that had one conversation with Alan Thompson and then had their bookstore torched to the fucking ground.
Yeah. He's gone to the bookstore. Let's fuck that place up.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, he's also gone to, you know, he's gone to the supermarket.
I saw him at the petrol station too, bro.
He walked past three houses. Let's torch them.
Holy fuck. Whoa.
Did you see him walk past that phone booth? Burn it to the fucking ground, bro.
Rip up that poster. He was looking at that too.
What about that kid's lemonade stand? He like looked at the lemonade for about 10 milliseconds. Burn that kid to the ground.
He's wearing Nike shoes. Let's fucking spam them on Facebook. Ah, hate you, Nike.
What are these guys
doing? I saw him drinking a Corona. Let's go to Mexico and blow up the entire country, bro.
Let's spread coronavirus. And call it Dalton virus.
Double lasty.
I had the character Mo, or Aruto Castro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was just like joined a motorcycle gang, and then all of a sudden he's got to start vandalizing a bar and gets his arms broken by a trained UFC fighter. Like, holy fuck. And then he has to sneak off in the middle of the day, I suppose.
He's very non-committal to the gang life, hey?
Hey, boys, we've all been there, bro. We're like, somebody comes up with some fucking harebrained scheme, and then 250 episodes, look where we are.
And I like how you're like, this is our, where it's coming to the end, guys. You better listen to all these episodes because they'll be the last 250 you'll ever hear. Like the 500th episode, you'll be like, yep, we're almost winding up. This could be the last one.
Hello, good people, and welcome to episode 792.
I am Sam Bartholomew Hurley.
Bit shit today in the old fucking price wars over the old electric car. Bitcoin's at $17 billion.
I sold back out back in 2012.
Anyway, we're here to talk about Ant-Man 172. What do you think about the recasting of Paul Rudd's great-grandchild?
Me, it's just the guy being eaten by a crocodile. I bet he didn't wake up that day living the thug life going, I'm going to just intimidate this dude on his boat, not thinking that he'd get eaten by a crocodile.
He kind of deserved it. Maybe that's a controversial opinion, but he's fucking useless. Shows up, jumps in his boat, hangs out at the end of the table, and then takes the table to the knees, which would probably do fuck all. You're not going to fucking, you know, not be able to shoot the dude that's directly in front of you because you've taken a table to the knees.
Yeah. That's like my pet hate of films and TV series, eh? Where someone's got like a gun to their head, they get distracted for like a millisecond, and the person's able to like overpower them. Convenient distraction.
Anyway, let's move over to question number four, and we've already started talking about these. What was the biggest load of bullshit in this movie?
I had no guns. Like, why not just shoot him? Like, why don't you start with that? Like, we've got to get this dude. Let's just go and shoot him. Like,
we have talked about the one gun scene.
Conor McGregor, yeah, there's a few guns in there, but, like, Conor, you know, like, there's a bar, there's gangs, and they're like, oh, we've got to fight. We'll just fight him.
What?
He's fucking mean at fighting. He literally killed a dude in the ring. Everyone knows who he is. He's like...
Blow up his boat.
Yeah, it's like Mike Tyson. Oh, fuck, I reckon I'll get him.
Pretty much.
I've done no training. Look at him. He's fucking ripped. And it's like, oh, I'll fuck him up. I'm pretty sure. Like, yeah. No, you're not sure. Just like every other American gang, just shoot him with your gun. You've got one.
I know. But there's five of us. Yeah. But five times no fighting skill still equals no fighting skill.
Bros, I want to take over this local like fucking bar, bros. But LeBron James is working on the door. I'm going to go down there. Challenge him to a game of one-on-one. I reckon I fucking got him, bro. Yeah. I reckon he ain't got shit when it comes to basketball.
They go down.
What are you doing? What are you fucking doing?
They go down there and they go, get in the car. We need to come with us. And he's like, nah. It's like, fucking said no. Maybe I should have bought a fucking gun, pointed at him, shot him or something like that, and dragged him into the car.
Makes too much sense.
doesn't that guy go to get his gun out, but he breaks his hand or something?
Oh, who fucking knows? Who cares? Yeah. Should we wrap it up now? Thank you, everyone, for listening to our podcast.
I'd never beat Edward or whatever his name is. Dalton.
Let's just call him Double Asty.
I've got a gun, I'm shooting him. I'm fucking shooting him. And I've definitely got a gun in America.
It's like the scene in Raiders, you know, when the guy comes out and does all his old fucking sword tricks and Indiana Jones just shoots him. It's like, dodge this.
I like that scene fighter. Where he's like, he's so confident that he's going to jump in the car and he just says, no. What do you mean, no?
It was pretty funny. Maybe I'm warming to this movie a little. Probably not.
I've got a hazy recollection of this one, but I think it's the initial big bar fight scene. And there's just like people falling from the ceiling. And I'm like, why are you up in the rafters?
They're just falling
way down. I'm like,
do they smash through some like dinghy or something?
Yeah. I'm like, there's no like mezzanine or anything. Yes. Why are you falling from a massive height?
It's like a really tall tiki hut or something. Yeah.
You should Google Florida man news stories and you will be amazed at the type of shit that happens in Florida, bro. It's pretty common.
What were they doing? They just climbing up there?
I don't know. Like, why?
Much you ask this question, like he hasn't climbed out of a fight or two before.
I've been in a bar brawl, but I haven't been the one fighting.
But much as
you climbed to the fucking rafters.
Much as that guy where there's like he starts the fight and there's a big pile on, but he crawls out and everyone else is still carrying on,
just crawling along. Gotta get out of here.
I've literally been. I think it's happened twice, and I've been in like a big brawl where I've not actually been fighting anyone. And it's real weird. And like everyone's fighting. It happened twice.
Is that because they don't see you as a threat?
I don't know. I think so. They're like, oh. I'm like that guy Mo. I'm just walking around having casual conversations with everyone while they're fighting.
I've never admitted this to anyone, but I was in a massive bar brawl once and I got punched out by a girl.
I was standing
at the bar and then somebody like, bro, there's a fight broken out. I turned around and it was like everyone was punching each other. I looked around and this girl beside me just fucking cracked me in the face. I was like, why'd you do that? She was like, bro, everyone's punching everyone, bro. And I was like,
well, I'm not punching you back.
What the fuck am I supposed to do here?
Was this in TA?
I can never
Is it start with a C or?
I'm just going to say Waikato,
e?
Okay? I'm just going to say Waikato. It was Hamilton. I didn't get bloodied either. I just got punched in the face by some random girl. I was like, turn around and be like, whoa, what's happening? Bam! Never admitted that to anyone, and I'm having PTSD even bringing it up. Back to the question, which was, what's the biggest load of bullshit? The one for me is that a dude is in a speedboat chase race, you know, fight, whatever, gets catapulted out of a boat.
Yeah.
Soars about 100 meters, which I don't know, it's 300 feet or whatever in American terms, and then lands on the roof of the building and then just drops down. It's like, oh yeah, I'm sweet ass.
Yeah.
Kill this guy! And then the guy that he's employed, like we talked about, the guy he's employed kills him.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, you're not getting paid, bro.
Well, so how are you going to get back to Italy?
You just killed your employer's son. Well done, you're fucking officially unemployed, yeah. Anywho, that moves us over to a Patreon question, which comes courtesy of our man, Chris Yenny. Thank you, Chris. We love your work. What's the question there, Machu?
What on-the-nose song would you drop into this movie and where?
So my song is anytime Knox is doing his, like, cowboy walk, you know?
It's Conor McGregor, yep.
You know, he walks along like he's, I don't know, got gigantic balls or something. Old Town Road.
Yeah. Fair enough.
With Billy Ray. Every time. Down, down.
I'm breaking our rule of like you're not allowed to use songs that have already been used before. I'm gonna go with him. We see a post credit scene of Knox, aka Conor McGregor, leaving a hospital. We should have dropped in Destiny Child Survivor.
Yeah. I'm not gonna give it, I'm a survivor.
Why not? In an Irish accent. That's what on here. Survivor covered by an Irish, you know, like pub band.
Yeah, I'm going to break that rule too. I don't know, any scene where something crashes through the wall of a bar or into a room when Conor McGregor crashes into it. I came in like a wrecking ball.
Oh, Oh yeah, yeah. Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus. Yeah. Also had like when Jake Gyllenhaal's giving Conor McGregor the stink eye, and Conor McGregor's like, "What?" And it's like, "The Lonely Island jizz in my pants."
Like, that's not what the song.
You're like Bieber.
That's not the song I was expecting.
An early starter. Fast finishes.
He's still talking. I was not. I was not expecting that. Kahu, next question.
Question six. What quote from this film would be the worst to hear after sex?
I've got a tip for you. Don't let no one get this close. Fuck that.
Most people call me the big dick. Excuse me?
I've got the most memorable line of the movie. Who taught you shapes?
That's good.
You want to have the right shapes, yeah. when you're in bed.
Question number seven is, what characters best represent the other podcasters? Butchu, why don't you start off with the hatred against each other?
Yeah. I was actually going to put you as Big Dick.
Hell yeah!
But I've decided after the story you just told about getting beaten up by a girl, I thought you might be the bouncer at the Roadhouse. Or is his name Billy or something?
There's Billy and there's that other guy.
Definitely not the one that's done boxing.
Yeah.
Definitely the bitch dude who gets his ass handed to him.
The one that starts the movie with black eyes.
Yeah.
Reef, I think his name is, the other guy.
Yeah, and then Kahu, I've got you as Mo. He's like, he just enjoy riding motorcycles and wasn't really cut out for this gang life, though.
I just want to jump in there and just say Kahu is definitely the gang member that sells out his friends and says, I'm not part of this.
You got him as well.
Yeah, of course I got him as well. I just went along with this for the fun of it. He's the one that sells people out, for sure. That's I don't really know the Salmon Muchu guys.
It's interesting because I've got you as Mo Muchu. Mainly because
Muchu would do it as well.
He's got that busted shoulder. And I was like, yeah, that'd be Muchu trying to take more than he can chew in the bar with some arm wrestling.
True. Good point. But
we're all Mo's. And Sam, I've got you as Mo.
Yes! I totally sell you guys out. I don't know these guys.
Yeah, that's true.
Sam,
I'm looking for Muchu. Anyway, he's over there and he's done some shit. So even if you're not, you go get him.
Hey, that guy that's leading. I don't know that guy, bro. I've never met him before in my life. He's just joined our stag dude tonight.
I knew it was Post Malone, Sam.
I'd pussy out of a fight.
Sam keeps it real. He'd know when he's reached his limits.
Yeah,
and if UFC fighter turned up, he'd be like, nah, I'm not doing this.
I've had six fights tonight and I've got about $5,000 in my purse, but fuck that. I'm not doing that. Yeah.
That would totally be
takes
me.
Takes the L straight away.
Straight away. I'd quit the fucking dudes. I'd
quit while I'm ahead.
There's a victory in quitting.
Yeah.
The only other answer I had is, much as the bad guy gets in over his head financially and starts borrowing money from dodgy dudes.
He was the smartest, dumbest dude, eh? Like,
I don't know what his deal was, man. Like, this is one of the biggest peeves I have between the original and this. Original, we get Ben Gazzara, whatever the fuck his character's name is in the original. He's fucking insane, and he's hilarious, and he's fun. And like, he's driving on the wrong side of the road, and we get sort of a callback to that Conor McGregor saying, wrong side of the road. Well, I don't know what the fuck he says, but... But where the fuck is the cool villain, you know? Fucking bullshit. Anyway, question number eight. Wasn't much you.
Question number eight. What bizarrely specific top 10 list would you put this movie on?
Top 10 movies featuring boat to land crashes.
Ooh.
Actually, the only other one I could think of was Speed 2, so someone else can pull out the top 10. Because I was
about to say.
I got thrown by top 10 list. I was like, I don't know if this would be the top 10 for anything.
You have to come up with nine others now.
Yeah. That means this movie has to
top
be
top 10 crocodiles attacking
than
people on boats.
Yeah. Nine other movies. Yeah.
What about you, Muchu? I'm going to let you go first.
I had one similar to Kahu, actually. But my one was Boats and Bars. Top 10 movies with boats and bars.
Boats crashed into a bar. Well, Face Off, doesn't that have like a jet ski crashing into fucking something? Yeah. I'm struggling. I'm trying to think of some films for you.
Ooh, Mission Impossible 2.
Sure.
I think.
Probably.
That was the shittest one, but I remember there's like jet skis in that. I think they crash.
I don't remember. Picnics shit in the Ocean. That. Top 10 Picnics in the Ocean films.
That's a winner, bro. Picnics in the Name Ocean. Name another one.
Life of Pi?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. I'm well done. I'm impressed. The one I had was like pretty obvious. Worst films by good directors. Because this is by Doug Liman, who did Edge of Tomorrow. Which I think is fucking awesome.
That's the Tom Cruise one, eh?
Yeah, Tom Cruise.
Yeah. That was really good.
And I will give this film this. Like, it has some pretty good action scenes. I didn't actually give my good thing. I did the Conor McGregor joke, but it does have some pretty good action scenes. The other one that was, like, kind of something we touched on, which is top 10 films I'm immediately going to forget.
Yeah.
You know, ask me in 5 years, hey, have you seen that, you know, Roadhouse remake? I'll be like, probably. You know, like
the day after, I'm struggling to remember stuff.
Like, we're talking about it now, a week after we've watched it. I can't remember shit. You guys are talking about like Knox. I'm like, who the fuck is Knox?
There were some memorable parts of me, and like top 10 films of indestructible dress shirts. Like his dress shirt makes it all the way to the
end. Wow, that's a good one.
I was like, fam, I can't. Like, I lose buttons like putting my shirts on.
He's got
all
like,
around the midsection as
he
well.
He goes to the same
when he's shopping in the child section.
Goes to the same tailor as John Wick.
Yeah. But he's having fights with several dudes going on high-speed boat chases, and yeah, that shirt's a bit dirty, but shit, still fits, still looks good.
It's fucking unreal, yeah. Question number 9, Kahu.
What's something you noticed that you don't think others might have immediately noticed?
Okay, guys, so I am a bit of an Ernest Hemingway fan, right?
Yes.
I very much appreciate the works of Ernest Hemingway. He's an inspiration for me as a writer. The owner of the bar says that her uncle built it in the 60s. Said built the bar in the 60s. She also said Ernest Hemingway used to drink there. Ernest Hemingway is very famous, infamous, whatever, for drinking in Florida at a certain point in his life. That point in his life was the 1930s.
Yeah. When did he die?
1961.
Yeah.
Ernest Hemingway killed himself in 1961, at which point he was basically spending his time between Europe, Idaho, where he'd moved to, and Cuba. There was no fucking way. Yeah, Cuba. Yeah.
Cuba's pretty close to the Key. Florida Keys?
Nah, he'd become disillusioned.
It's a 2-hour boat trip.
He's not even drinking at this point. He's some of an old man.
There.
I don't. Cuba.
Yeah.
Cuba wasn't under like Castro by then.
It was. He was friends with Castro.
Oh, interesting.
He sort of vacated Cuba at that point because they started going on about how they hate Americans and they started taking over American property that was owned in Cuba and all that sort of shit. That's when a lot of the anti-America, anti-Cuba shit started. So Hemingway wasn't spending time in this fucking Florida Keys in the 60s. There was no way that happened. Bullshit. Absolute fucking bullshit.
Well done. That's a good one.
Yes.
I just said indestructible shit. No,
that's a good one. It's a good point. That's a really good point.
I was like, fuck, that shit's pretty cool, eh? Like, but the other thing I just noticed that everybody is a loser in this film. Like, it's just loser after loser. Like, the heat, like, Jake Gyllenhaal's...
Gyllenhaal. Let's come up with, like, the... Gyllenhaal.
McGonagall.
Connor McLeod or whatever his name is.
Mononucleus.
Everyone's just losers. He's like this loser UFC fighter. He meets up with this loser bar owner who's going all downhill, and he meets a loser doctor whose dad's a loser cop.
Yeah,
and who works for a loser sport brat of a dude, and they're just all losers.
There's
fucked up about them. There's no, except for Mo, who's a stand-up man. He's like a loser as well. Like, they're all, I don't get it. It's just a movie. And that's what people that we want to see in films are now.
Yeah, they're all losers. Yeah. But that's the thing, like that was what made the original awesome, was Swayze was a Zen master awesome. Yeah. Ninja Cockle fucking sucks in this movie.
That guy, the villain, he was like this legendary villain, you know? He was crushing it in that town.
Yeah.
He was taking advantage of everybody.
This guy's just like a whiny little bitch.
Yeah, he is. Whiny little bitch and over his head, all that sort of shit. Like, keep them one-dimensional. You know, like I said at the start of the podcast, nail one plot well. Don't tell 17 different ones and just make them all
the
shit.
The bar owner comes into money. Everything kind of made sense. I need to get a new bar. Need to get a new guy to run my bar to make it better because I'm going to invest a whole bunch of money into it.
Yeah.
And this chick just, she's got a fucking failing bar. She's like, you know what I need when I'm failing at my bar? So spend more money on a fucking loser.
Yeah.
Who has no bouncer experience, no idea about running a bar, and I'll pay him more than anybody.
Even though she's been offered a shit ton of money to sell her property and move on.
Yeah.
Right? What the fuck?
No, I'm just going to hang on.
I'm gonna hang on to my shitty fucking bar that my uncle made up stories about Ernest Hemingway fucking drinking here.
I mean, if anything, it's a total win for her. It's right on the beach. That shit's going to be done with climate change in like 10 years.
Exactly.
Let Billy Brandt deal with all that shit.
Especially Florida, which is like spending hundreds of millions trying to fight climate change.
Why does he even want it? It doesn't even make sense. Just build around it. Just leave it there. He's not trying to buy up the bookstore, that's for sure.
It's funny, listeners, because Muchu says this, but Muchu in that position would be like, fuck you, I'm buying that.
My one was in the opening scene when he rolls into Glass Key and that little shopping center where the bookstore is.
Yeah.
There's the Double Juice restaurant. And I thought, nobody's going to notice that. But then they lingered on it for like 10 seconds. So everybody noticed that. Yeah. So my other one was that actually in the first big bar fight, they show the cage for the band in the background to make it look like an octagon. From the UFC.
Oh, that's good.
I think that was purposely done, and that was pretty cool.
I didn't like the fact that the cage never came down. Like, shit just got worse. Like, in the first one, they go through this progression where the bar gets better and better. But this one, nothing. It just got worse. The fights got worse. The bar got even more trashed.
Yeah, that's true. Anywho, that moves us over to question number 10. What was the most moronic decision made by an otherwise smart character?
Oh, it's got to be Ben Brandt trying to take over the roadhouse and using all of his resources on a fucking roadhouse. Like, surely that's not the diamond in the glass keys, you know. Surely he can make some money anywhere else. Why is he risking his own life?
Yeah.
To
go further north. Go further south. Whatever direction you're going in.
The book club. Well, yeah, like do everything else. Just make it a little bit smaller, your development or some shit, eh? Like, what the fuck?
I just want to preface this by saying, otherwise smart character. I don't actually think we have any smart characters in this film, really.
I was going to say, that guy's just riding on the coattails of his invisible dad.
Yeah, he is getting a barber to shave him on his boat, eh, in the high seas.
And then blaming the barber for fucking up.
But who is the smartest character in this film?
Well,
the young girl that runs the bookstore? I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
What's that tree story she keeps going on about?
The dude that stabbed him in the fucking car parking lot?
What the fuck was that tree story about as well? Eh? There's a tree that lives in the middle of the road and they wrote a book about it and he goes on about it from the start to the end of the film.
Oh, yeah, because they show it when he's going across the bridge at the start and it's like the old bridge and there's a tree growing there. Yeah.
And that's supposed to mean something. These stupid.
And then he drives past it again at the end and looks at it knowingly.
Top 10 movies of stupid.
Why? It's just stupid symbolism. It's just a feral tree.
The smartest decision was fucking Post Malone not fighting him. He's the smartest character in this movie.
He didn't get the job. He probably got offered the job. You know, he was like, oh, no, taking the L.
Yep.
So we're reversing that question, are we? The smartest decision made by an otherwise moronic character.
We might as well, because that's where we're at. That's actually, fuck, I'm using that. That's really good. That's a really good question. Right,
Mo just taking the fuck out and getting lost there.
I just went with Ellie, who clearly must be kind of smart, seeing she's a doctor, just staying anywhere near Dalton. Like,
yeah.
Has she not seen the original Roadhouse and see how things go down?
I feel like she's a doctor, but at the same time, I feel like she's not a doctor. You know what I mean? She's got her degree from the University of Arizona or whatever that online one is that you pay $1,000 and they send you a degree.
University for the people.
Yeah, pretty much. It just seems stupid.
The same one that Felicity Huffman's sister got it from, eh?
100%. Big dick got her into the university of choice.
The University of Glass Key.
Pretty much. The one for me was the random boat explosion by Dalton. You know, like there's ways to do things, but like potentially drowning you and the person you've gone to rescue is probably not the best idea.
Yeah, he didn't plan that well. Too many concussions.
Yeah. Anyway, that moves us over to our personal questions. I'll kick us off. What is your Mount Rushmore, because there's been a lot of them, top Mount Rushmore being your top four, of terrible remakes?
And actually, in no particular order.
No order. Just
Shaft. I had Shaft. Samuel Jackson as Shaft, the ladies' man. Like, oh, come yeah. on.
isn't that the best Simpsons episode? He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman.
Yeah. Shaft. Like, yeah, anyone could be Shaft except for Samuel. What is it with these motherfucking snakes? No one wants my snake. Motherfucker. Get some good luck. And then I had the remake of Point Break.
Oh, it's so bad, isn't it? It's so terrible. It's so terrible. What do they make them like? The extreme sports or something? I can't remember what the fuck they...
Yeah.
They go from being surfers to being... extreme athletes or something, like yeah, X-Game athletes.
It's a little bit like this one. They've gone in a direction that no one wanted.
The only thing I found interesting was one of Bodie's gang is actually in the remake as like the president, or like he's like the head of like the he's head of something. Like he's really grown up or glown up or whatever. Yeah.
And then I had Ghostbusters. Which one do you reckon?
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. And I'm sure everybody would love three men ragging
on. I know what it is,
yeah,
but I just don't want to say it.
I think we all know. That's fine.
And actually, this is I reckon this is the worst one. It's the Conan remake. The one
with
Jason
Momoa.
I reckon that's the shittest movie of all time. Okay. How dare he?
Interesting.
So my problem was that I either haven't seen the original or the remake, so that cut the list down a bit. Because I really wanted to put the new RoboCop in there, but I never saw
it. It's so bad. That's the right answer. That is one of the right answers. Yeah.
But I did have four. Sam's going to hate this one, The Wicker Man.
You're an idiot.
I like the original Wicker Man, but...
Yeah, no, like everybody hates the remake. Yeah. I understand why, but I fucking love it because it's so bad, it's awesome.
Yep. Planet of the Apes.
Terrible movie.
Yep. Yes, terrible remake. The Ring. Japanese one I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, Japanese one's terrifying. The American remake isn't that bad.
Yeah, but it's just.
It's got
not
a New Zealander in it. You're not allowed to say mean things about films that have New Zealanders in it.
But my number one is Total Recall.
Oh, yes! Yeah, right. Yeah. Thank you. They don't even go to Mars.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't even go to Mars.
Colin
what
Firth,
the fuck?
How dare you? Anyone that tries to do a remake of an Arnie film, how dare you?
Pretty much.
Kate Beckinsale is hot though.
Beckinsale's hot. Beale's hot.
I still. What do you reckon? Beckinsale in her day or Sharon Stone in her day?
Sharon Stone is apex predator.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't beat Sharon Stone. Jesus. Nah.
Neither could Arnie. That's how fucking good she was.
Yeah, exactly. There's a couple of others out there. Like I kind of wanted to answer my own question. But yeah, good answers, guys. Agree with most of those.
Any others?
June. June's great. I like June.
Anywho, moves me over to my next question. How did a girl who grew up in the Glass Keys, this is going to be my biggest load of bullshit, by the way, develop such a thick Portuguese accent? So the doctor tells us, I grew up here, and then my parents separated. How? How has she got this thick Portuguese accent?
My friend's wife, she's got this English accent, and so I said, oh, so where are you from? And she's like, she's part Cuban. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, so, but did you grow up? And she grew up in Australia.
What?
And then, but they met in New Zealand, and then I was like, but but you've got an English accent. He goes, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it's just the way I talk because she spent 6 months abroad. And
oh, fuck.
And he's like, that's my accent and I'm not losing that one.
It's funny because
I picked it up at like 23 or something.
My daughter's been watching a lot of Peppa Pig and she started talking like Peppa Pig. And I'm like, I'm cutting this shit out right now. You're not speaking this weird, like, generic British accent.
So what are you saying? She got it from watching Dora the Explorer or something?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Cut her out. Cut out that two-dimensional shit. So the actor that plays Big Dick, guy called Joaquin de Almeida.
Yes.
I think he's a bit of a, like how New Zealand has Cliff Curtis. He's like that kind of multi-ethnicity kind of actor.
Yeah,
he
kind of
just slot into anywhere.
He can play for anything except Māori.
Yeah, like he's been in Fast Five and I think he was in Behind Enemy Lines, but I remember
24?
Him, yeah, I remember him mainly from 24, and I think he was like a Mexican drug lord or something. Mm. So I think he just sort of fits in anywhere. So all I could think of is that her dad just kept her at home as like a study freak forever, which is probably why she has terrible choice in men, and ended up being a doctor with a like generic Latino accent.
She
Portuguese
only just,
accent.
She only recently has terrible choice of men. Her other boyfriend had this mad boat.
And he's a cop.
He yeah, did, but he was
a solid job.
He was a dick about lending it out to people. I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he didn't want to lend it out to the dude with TNT. Like, that's one of those.
The dude is loading up his boat.
One of those big Acme pull down fucking I mean, Wile E. Coyote buttons or whatever.
Sorry, Wile E. Coyote. I don't want you driving my boat.
That's a red flag for a long term relationship. Not sharing your things. Yeah. Come on.
True.
I've just met this guy in the ER, took his shirt off, and he's fucking ripped. I'm in there. Like, what the?
All I want to say is that there's people should go on YouTube and look this up. There's a disorder or whatever you want to call it, where people have something affects them. Something, you know, like they like. I think the example I've seen is a woman goes into a coma, and when she wakes up, British woman from Brighton or Bristol or whatever, she's speaking in a Chinese accent.
Yeah, I've seen that.
It's
yeah.
fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, full Chinese accent to the point they're like, you serious? But, like, it's legit. Like, it's some sort of disorder where you wake up and you start speaking a different accent. That's the only explanation, guys. Which
is legit, eh? I like how you say, it's legit. Just make sure you say it's legit. We'll
yeah,
all
yeah,
buy
it's
it.
Legit. That's crazy.
Don't quote me on this.
We won't even question any of the information as long as you say it's legit.
100% legit.
Like, my trust in our friendship has just gone to that level where I just expect anything that you say followed by it's legit.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe it.
Bro, I can show you 50 Wikipedia articles that I wrote myself that has proof of this existing.
Crazy, though, that the human brain is potentially storing all of that kind of information and it just lies there dormant. And but you're like,
it's storing random accents.
You secretly got like
specifically a Chinese one,
just random racism that you're like,
it's your Chinese accent, except you don't speak the Chinese language, it's just the accent.
It's like everybody's a human Siri and you can just change your accent.
Yeah, yeah, you can just
say it. What if it's like a real racist accent? Like, what if it's like,
I think speaking Chinese as a freaking British person kind of is racist. You watch it, it's pretty racist. Let's not try our own interpretations of what it might sound like. Let's just move on to my final question, which is so for years it was discussed that Ronda Rousey was going to be the main star of a remake of Roadhouse. I don't know what the plot was going to be, but I think it was generally going to follow the original. So what do you guys reckon? I mean, obviously we're not a big fan of this, but would the previously planned Ronda Rousey remake of Roadhouse have worked better?
I mean, I'd like to see it.
Same.
Yeah. But it's like fucking, it's not Roadhouse 1 anyway.
It's never going to be, right?
I think, like, even though Conor McGregor was pretty good in this, he was in it for just enough time. And I think that kind of shows that if you had somebody like him with a limited acting background as the main character, it just wouldn't work.
So she's been Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't she
in Expendables?
That, she was also in that film, probably. The guys that hang out in a group with Marky Mark.
Are you talking about Entourage, the TV series? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Entourage is the movie, though. And she's in that.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And she fights
that.
Turtle.
It might work if she's, you know, got a bit of acting chops, but I don't know.
I reckon it would be good. I reckon
she's fucking terrible.
She would be good. Like, in the movie, they make her look pretty buff.
Yeah. Anywho, that moves us over to Machu. What do you got, Machu?
we went through the plot of the film at the start, but I'm still with so many subplots. What was this movie actually about?
So I've got a theory, right? How did this get made is a podcast which sort of talks about this, like used to in the yesteryear or whatever, but there's the whole idea of Jacob's laddering, right? So in the film Jacob's Ladder, he's actually dying and the entire film is his hallucination. I reckon that's what happened. I reckon he's been smoked by the train and this is his hallucination. He's Jacob's laddering. He's imagining all this shit happening and it's all convoluted and fucking messy because he's about to fucking die on a train track. It's the only way any of this makes sense because there's so much in this that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Kind of like Source Code. Underrated film.
A very good Jake Gyllenhaal performance. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's in that.
What the fuck? Are you fucking serious?
That was the whole...
Yeah.
No, more the plot you're going at, but if you give me another couple of seconds, I would have got it.
Yeah, real, like, Donnie Darko, you know, like, a really, yeah, like, yeah, interesting yeah, yeah, yeah. story where he's like, oh, you mean Jake Gyllenhaal? Yeah.
Requiem for a Great Dream.
Jeffrey Wright.
He's not in Requiem. That's Jared Leto.
Jared Leto. They're the same guy.
Top quality.
They're the same guy.
We're just throwing names out there now. Plot of the movie. It's about two guys, a girl, and a roadhouse place, basically.
Two guys, a girl, and the roadhouse. Yeah. Oh, so two guys, Connor McGregor.
Yeah, Connor. But Billy's like a side character by this point.
It's about Jake Gyllenhaal fighting Conor McGregor.
Yes. I mean, that's the climactic fight at the end, so yes.
Can we talk about that fight, right? Like, he gets his ass handed to him 1,000 times over by fucking Conor McGregor.
Have you seen Nate Diaz, Conor McGregor?
No.
Yeah.
Is that a porn that you're trying to...
No, Nate Diaz, Conor McGregor one, where Nate Diaz gets bashed over and over again. But then Conor McGregor gets tired and Nate Diaz jumps on his back and chokes him out.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, spoiler alert.
It's a famous fight.
See, but
it's the old rope-a-dope.
The climactic fight at the end, it's... Elwood has come full circle by being like, he doesn't care if he lives or dies at the beginning to being wiped out by the train. To the end where he's like...
Doesn't care if he lives or dies.
He's basically...
Yeah.
He's basically down and out.
Get me out of this
shit. He's down and out and, you know, is most likely unable to get up. But then he, like, summons his final reserves of strength because he wants
Goes
to
Goes Super Saiyan.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. He turns full on Vegeta.
We were just listening to him...
Vagina.
Without the blonde hair.
Ninja Cockle goes vagina, yeah.
We were just listening to him talk like Kermit the Frog saying... And when I get angry...
I get really angry.
I get really angry.
He wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Sam was just like, that's Kermit the Frog. Is he the voice of Kermit the Frog?
Yeah. This piano's out of tune.
Sounds good to me.
And then he goes into full-on, like, blade mode or whatever and starts staking him.
Yeah. Yes. Well, none of them are going to bullshit. Motherfucker gets staked about 14 fucking times. Strolls out of the fucking hospital.
He's like, yeah, he can say, and then he's fighting, and he's like, oh, fuck this. And he finally gets a gun. Hey.
Yeah.
Right. All this fighting is stupid. I'm just going to kill you. Oh, wait, not if you talk, and then I distract you for 1 second, and then I'll knock your gun out of your hand. And it's not even 1 second, eh? There's like a 3 or 4 second pause every time he knocks a gun out of someone's hand. He is the master of getting people to talk just before they shoot him, and then knocking the gun out of their hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is fucking like... This is superpower.
I want to go to that. Yeah, I want to go to his self defense class. Learn that skill.
Yeah, get a bit of exposition at the same time.
Yeah. I've talked my way out of a few fights before. I reckon I could teach this lesson. I'm there.
What happened to you in your childhood? Oh, back when I was young, I had the gun like just like I'm pointing at you right now. Yeah, gun goes flying.
Did you have a good relationship with your father?
Okay, moving on to my next question. What is the average wage in the Glass Key if the bar owner can give Jake Gyllenhaal $5,000 a week to be a bouncer?
I reckon it's shit all. Everybody else is in organized crime, so nobody's getting any money like by the legal way.
He can only afford to live in a broken down boat.
Yeah. Well, even the ex-boyfriend police officer, you know, like that boat's probably $100,000.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, he's doing all right.
He's doing perfectly fine.
How the bar owner is making enough money to pay someone $5,000 a week for at least a month.
Pretty sure it's like $1 million.
Yeah.
It seems fucking weird, right? It seems like it's bizarre. Like,
$5,000 a week, what's that? $250,000 a year is $250,000 to be a bouncer.
I guess she's.
And he doesn't even fight anyone.
Yeah, I was about to say.
He just sits there drinking coffee.
She's worst bouncer ever. You don't have to do jack shit.
She's banking on the fact that he's going to wrap it all up in like a week. Yeah. I don't think she's budgeted for him to be there for like a month or longer.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a USC fighter to so there's no more fights.
I was going to talk about it later, but where is she getting this money from? Sure, we get it. We've talked about that. But like, legitimately, at any point during this movie, do you see that bar packed? No. We see multiple staff. We see like the packed bar is like there's like 40 people in there and a fucking fight breaks out. You're like, really? Where the fuck is everyone?
Maybe she's getting it from the estate of Ernest Hemingway.
True. I forgot Ernest Hemingway used to drink
or he was in Cuba, so maybe she siphoned off some of that $1 trillion note.
Maybe. That's a better answer to a shit question. What's your next one, Machu?
Yeah, this is even a worse one. I'm an accountant, and I was watching this film, and I was thinking, Ben Brandt is...
What questions have you got, Kahu?
Ben Brandt is like, he is terrible with his money. Like, yes. He's got this huge super yacht, and he uses all his resources to just attack this one shitty bar. And he owes money, like shitloads of money. So he's bleeding money out because all the money he has to pay back, and he's also spending heaps of money on these fucking bikies that do a shit job. So how would you better structure your business affairs if you're Ben Brandt?
Maybe he just he just needs to hire a chartered accountant. Yeah. No, but seriously though,
Machu wants a job in Florida.
I just heard the average salary is $1 million a year.
Yeah.
I think he just needs to go with an olive branch to Frankie, make it like a local community bar and harvest the tax gains from the charity status.
100%.
That's what I would do.
The first thing I wrote down was maybe he should start by moving his business meetings off expensive boats and onto shore. And then I was like, I just gave up after that. too much thought into this stupid question.
Maybe he should stop hiring his barber to come out onto his expensive boat for like 3 days.
Like that. Danger pay.
Maybe he should stop hiring a gang and then putting paying for an Airbnb. Airbnb.
What the fuck?
This enormous house that this like just. Down maybe crappy should, biker yeah. gang are inhabiting.
Maybe a dude smashing up with a fucking golf club.
Maybe he should stop hiring gangsters from Italy that crash cars constantly into trees.
Yeah.
He should stop buying expensive suits and wearing them to shitty roadhouse bars.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a fucking lot. There's a lot of cost-saving techniques that he could implement. That would save his business.
And what about just wire transferring, instead of having a deal on the beach, just wire transferring funds to bad dudes, you know? Like, why does he have to go to the effort of getting cash out of the bank, go down to the beach with a dodgy cop and have a boat meeting? What the fuck? How much more expensive? Maybe he should get a parachute out of the sky from a fucking private plane into the middle of an expensive island. Oh, fucking
hell. Yeah, just go somewhere else. Like, why does it have to be glass key?
Yeah, yeah.
Just hire a demo crew and just get them to flatten the roadhouse when nobody's there.
You can 100%. Literally wire transfer funds. You can. You can just get a whole bunch of Bitcoin. It's untraceable.
And you could destroy this fucking business. The owner gets smashed through and she's just like, whole life's ruined. Whole life's fucking ruined. She's like, oh, well, we can clean it up. She doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, I was like... You're just going to clean that up. A boat came through your bar. I'm pretty sure it has structural damage.
Two dudes have died inside your fucking... Well, one of them turns out to be alive. But like, you've had a horrific murder of one of them inside your business. And you're like, you're still like, oh, yeah, we'll be sweet.
What band have we got on tonight?
Yeah. I like $100,000. Can one of you random fucking bikey guys go to the bar, take out $100,000 and walk down to the secluded beach and make sure you make the money drop?
Fucking insane. Next.
Ooh, on to me. My first question, just how tight are Knox's shorts?
It's somewhere between this, right? It's somewhere between as tight as Kahu's knuckles get when men Machu say start saying something controversial. It's somewhere between that and Machu when he's not out on the piss.
I was going to say the same.
Yes. Machu on the piss, completely different person. Machu and normal Al, very fucking tight.
It's as tight as Sam is when it's his round at the bar.
There we go. Yep.
The rest of us know not to buy jeans online.
Zing.
Second question. Is Billy possibly the least threatening person to have as a bouncer?
Yes.
Yeah, if the bouncer walks up to you, he's already got two black eyes there. You got, I've got a shot.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Like, what the fuck? He's fighting. What the fuck?
He's just not intimidating at all. My final question. Would you act with Conor McGregor as your nemesis in an action movie, given his ability to totally destroy you?
Yeah, well, I've already called him out on a previous
podcast. No, on a beer's lover.
Yeah.
What? What do you mean, yeah?
Yeah, I would.
You want to be his lover?
I want to be. Yeah, I want to be. Oh, I want to act. Is that the nemesis? Is he like the guy in the first film? Do you remember that scene when he's fighting Patrick Swayze?
I used to fuck guys like you in prison.
I like completely missed that. Like I was watching a What does that even mean? Does that mean because I'm pretty, or is it because I'm a fighter? It's because what about me reminds you of guys you used to fuck? Like, is it my cool sense of, is it my hairstyle? I don't know. Like,
that was like, it's everything about you, Machu.
I would like stop in my tracks if I heard that. Eh? It's like, oh, it's like,
that's a line, eh?
Is it like my job or something? What attracted you to these guys?
Yeah, that's kind of one of the shit things about this movie.
It's not even one dude, it's guys. I used to fuck guys like you in prison.
Yeah, guys. Not guys. Plural.
Yeah.
Plural. Not just, I used to fuck a guy like you in prison. Oh, was he a Zen master who was also a bouncer? Correct. No. Guys. Yeah. It's like broadly associating
a
large group of the population that he fucked in prison.
A Zen Buddhist master.
Yeah. What the fuck?
With good hair and real good dances.
Like to rip out throats. Cool. And that moves us down to our final question, which is also a Patreon question. This question comes courtesy of our man Julio of the Contrarians podcast, an awesome podcast that rages against the Rotten Tomatoes machine. So they take a film that's universally beloved and argue why it's shit, and then offer their real talk at the end, or vice versa. His question, what is your guy's most controversial opinion about this movie? What have we got left, by the way?
I've got best ensemble cast ever.
Well, name five actors.
In 2024.
Okay. I set myself up for that one.
Quarter one.
Movie's released on March 20th.
Jake Gyllenhaal, Conor McGregor, the Billy Magnuson dude, Post Malone.
Naming just garbage here, by the way.
Darren Barnett.
Joaquin D'Almeida.
Remember him from that?
Daniela Melchior.
No. Daniela Melchior. Yeah.
Arturo Castro. I quite like that fella. He's that funny dude from
three movies.
He's on Saturday Night Live. He does that where he's like real cagey about getting into a relationship. It's real funny. I mean, you've not seen it.
I'm not going to go as far and say that Conor McGregor is the best actor in this movie, but he fulfills the acting brief the best out of anybody in this movie.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
I don't think that's that controversial. I think that's pretty fair. My one is that I reckon this movie is, I was going to say, three major changes, but like, yeah, sure, most movies are three major changes away from being a good movie, but I reckon this movie is legitimately three major changes away from actually being a really good movie. Number one, scrap that he killed his friend in the ring and make him more of a Zen master like Swayze. Take away that, like, he's got PTSD and all that sort of shit, all that sort of stuff that comes into it. Whatever. Number two, introduce Conor McGregor earlier. I think we needed him like Ben Gazzara. We need somebody fucking insane from the start that sort of goes yin and yang sort of thing. You know, we've got the insane versus the Zen Master. And then I've started adding more and more to this.
I need three things. 17. Number 17.
Number three, pack the bar with people.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it's a very busy bar. Doesn't really make any sense. Number four, scrap half the plots in this movie. Number five, embrace the original. Do some more callbacks to it. Make it more fucking original. Number six, have them start fighting people early.
Yeah, that was my thing.
My complaints about this movie.
He sits out most of the movie, eh? I also thought that, like, just the generic baddies in this were just way less kind of rough around the edges and unthreatening than those in the original.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, even though you knew that they were going to be red shirts in the original,
yeah.
Like, in this one, you're just like, these guys don't feel like proper baddies. They're just
when they go in the car to the hospital together, right?
Like, yeah, they're just they look like college dropouts on summer break or something and doing just like 100%. Some part time work, you know?
But like, this is my problem, is like the fucking weird polar opposites of those guys are fucking useless. We get that. They're riches, whatever. Yeah, they're fucking useless. But then the polar opposite is Conor McGregor just fucking hands his ass to him the entire fucking movie.
Yeah.
Where the fuck is the middle ground? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if he's fucking Batman, he can fuck up every single fucking person there. But yet, you know, he can fuck up seven dudes at once. That's his thing. He can fuck up seven dudes. Slap! Like, you know, slap dudes. Well, slap attacks. Not proper punches. Slap seven dudes. But then one Conor McGregor fucks him up. It's like, come on, man. Have some fucking, like, continuity about the shit.
Well, also that Ben Brandt has obviously used his rent-a-biker gang to, like, intimidate heaps of other people. Like, how did that even happen? They're useless. Like, yeah. Everyday people have raped their chances, you know?
Mo, what is that?
Get your neighbourhood watch together and go up against them, you know? You wipe the floor.
Even though this is, like, one of the worst films I'll see this year, but I'm still looking forward to the sequel.
What? Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions. What is the sequel going to be? Because we see Conor McGregor leave hospital.
It's just Conor McGregor and Tyrese.
Ludicrous.
I couldn't see
Conor McGregor goes to space.
I couldn't see Jake Gyllenhaal coming back.
Yeah.
I'd be really surprised.
I mean, what else is he doing at this point? Yeah, like, he's fucking doing shit movies, so why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
Have we not seen a fight on the moon with, like, you know, low gravity with, like, you know,
it'd be so the most slow.
Slow choreographed punches. And I will argue there's a lot of very slow choreographed punches.
The thing is, it'd be like one punch death because you just punch them in the helmet and the goldfish bowl will break.
Kick some dude and he just sails about 7,000 meters out into the atmosphere, like, oh, I'm gone.
You're out into the orbit of blooming Saturn.
You get picked up by a doctor on a flying boat or something that she borrowed from her boyfriend. Like, fucking bring it back, bitch. Fuck.
I thought I was going to die after you found me circling Uranus. Anyway, that does take us down to the end. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Anyway, if you want to get a hold of us, you can find us on X, Twitter, whatever the fuck it's called, at Movie Reviews In, alternatively at Movie Reviews In 20Qs, on Instagram, Facebook, or on email with MRATQS@gmail.com. Anywho, that's thanks from me.
Cheer.
Thanks from me. Cheer.